Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos learning. I hope that everyone enjoyed a meaningful and uplifting Chag HaPesach. We now resume our Pirkei Avos Erev Shabbos learning. So tonight we have a special dedication. I'm not sure. I think you're smiling, so I think you know what the dedication is. Okay, this year tonight is dedicated in honor of Mrs. Henny Wolf on the occasion of her birthday by her children and her grandchildren. It is my pleasure to learn with you this evening in honor of your birthday. Mrs. Henny Wolf and I learn in many venues together, including remotely on YU Torah, I understand, and through the OU Women's Initiative, many different shiurim together. So it is a pleasure to dedicate this Torah. We wish you arichos yamim vishanim with good health to enjoy your nachas. So we are still on Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav. First, I thought we were going to move on, but the reality is that we spoke about Shammai, if you recall. On the first week we did this Mishnah, we spoke about Shammai's interaction with Hillel, or I should say Hillel and Shammai, Bein Adam Mechaveiro. The second week we spoke about Shammai's interaction with the Umos HaOlam, specifically Herod did not oppress him or Hillel, and the importance of the interaction with our fellow human beings, not necessarily from Am Yisrael. Tonight, we will start to focus on the beginning of the Mishnah, which we have not spoken about yet. So Shammai Omer will remind you of the Mishnah that we are talking about. Again, Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav. Shammai Omer, Aseh Toras HaKeva, make your Torah learning permanent, and mor ma'at va'aseh harbeh, speak a little and do a lot. V'heveh mekabelas kol ha'adam b'sevar panim yafos, and you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance or demeanor. So again, we sort of began at the end, and we spoke about greeting every person with a pleasant countenance and demeanor. Hillel to Shammai, Shammai to Hillel, and then Shammai teaching vis-a-vis the Umas Ha'olam. Tonight we'll go back to start at the beginning of the Mishnah. So Shammai, mother-in-law, was going to welcome her, but now I think she left the screen for a moment. So welcome to my mother-in-law, who's absentee right now. Okay, when she comes back, I'll try to lead her to remember to welcome her. So let's begin. Oh, here she is. Here she is. Hi, I just welcomed you, but you weren't there. Another reason I decided to focus on this Mishnah again is because before Pesach, I ordered two new svarim for myself of Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal. One was Rabbi Dr. Twersky on the Haggadah, and the other was Rabbi Dr. Twersky, Visions of the Fathers, Rabbi Twersky on Pirkei Avos. So when I opened up to prepare for tonight's shiur is going to be based on the teachings of Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Aseh Toras HaKeva. So the first thing that Shammai tells us in this Mishnah is make your Torah learning fixed or permanent. Like Baruch Hashem this year. Make Torah a fixed practice that is more than just, and he points out something very, very important, Rabbi Dr. Twersky, it's more than just a matter of time. It sounds like, you know, does it just mean set aside a time for your Torah learning? Is that what it means? Aseh Toras HaKeva? No. Of course, one should devote as much time as possible, writes Rabbi Dr. Twersky, to the study of Torah, but there is really another concept involved, and it's not just about how much time, which we could call the quantity that we devote, but Rabbi Dr. Twersky is going to really express now, I think, is also the quantity that we devote to Torah learning. What is the quality of that time that we set aside? What is priority? What is ikkar for us? And what is tafel? What's secondary in our lives? And Rabbi Dr. Twersky relates, I met a physician whom I had treated several months earlier for alcohol addiction. I asked him whether he was following my recommendations, writes Rabbi Dr. Twersky, to attend the daily meetings of Alcohol Anonymous. Yes, he said, I still attend three meetings a day. I was a bit surprised, and I said, don't you have office hours? So the doctor said, yes, in between meetings, I have office hours. You see, he said, if I don't attend three meetings a day, I will drink again, and I won't have office hours at all. This man understood his priorities. He wanted to stay sober, nothing else mattered, and doing what was necessary to stay sober came first, and everything else was secondary. Rabbi Dr. Twersky is relating it to this Mishnah. This is his comment to this Mishnah, Aseh Toras HaKeva. In other words, what's our priority in life? For this man, his priority was staying sober, and therefore three meetings a day was of absolute importance, and the office hours would be secondary. Doing whatever it takes to stay sober came first, everything else was secondary. This is how, what's the nimshal? This is how it must be with our Torah study. The study of Torah, the life of Torah, the passion and zeal, devotion for Torah. Henny left me a very cute voice note, Erev Pesach, where is she? There she is. She said, I listened to 5 shiurim today on YU Torah, right? It was very cute. Kanainer, I don't know if it was that day or whatever. So you have to have an inyan that Torah learning has to really be a matter of permanence and not only permanence, priority in life. The study of Torah, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, must come first, and everything else should fit into that framework. So Avodas Hashem and Torah, Asei Torah Chakeva, means, doesn't just mean set aside a time every day. That's my priority. That's my framework. Everything else fits into that framework. If this priority is observed, one will find more time for Torah study than if one squeezes Torah study into a busy schedule. So is my schedule priority and Torah learning is secondary, or is Torah a mitzvos priority and everything else is secondary? And it's really interesting because I didn't know what Rabbi Dr. Tversky was going to write on this Mishnah. However, because the Sefer is new and I haven't taught from it yet, I was very excited to begin our Back to Learning Pirkei Avos with a teaching from this Mishnah. If anybody had the Pesach edition of Mishpacha, it was over 500 pages. There was a lot to read. I was very happy. So there was an article about Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky. I don't know if anybody saw it or read it, but when I was preparing the shiur and this teaching of Rabbi Dr. Tversky based on Shammai Asei Toras Chakeva, in other words, what's your framework? And everything else has to fit into that framework. So is your framework going to the gym? Getting a manicure, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. You should be healthy and you should feel good about yourself and we should have self-confidence and we should be a chavadit person, going out to lunch, taking walks on the beach. Is that my framework and everything else has to fit in it? Or is Torah and mitzvahs my framework and everything else fits into that? So you could be doing the exact same activities and having a totally different priority in both cases. Think about that. What's my priority? What's my ikkar? And what's my tafel? Shammai says, Asei Torah Chakeva, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky. It's not just having a time to learn. It's the understanding that that's priority and everything else fits into that framework. So interestingly, in this beautiful article, if you didn't read it yet, you should, the Mishpacha Pesach edition, Rabbi Dr. Tversky, so he came from a long line of a family of Rabbanim. In the year before his wedding, I'm now reading from Mishpach. In the year before his wedding, Avram, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, went to New York to learn in the yeshiva of his uncle, Rav Shlomo of Babav, where his chavrusa was his cousin, Naftali Tzvi, the Rebbe's son and eventual successor. During that year, he discovered another Rav who would become one of his beacons, the Stipler Gaon of Bnei Brak. He began to send the Stipler letters, Rav Chaim Shlita's father, and that is when a deep and fascinating relationship developed between Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky and the Stipler Gaon, Zatzal. While he was serving in his father's base medrash, Rabbi Tversky thought about attending university and obtaining a proper parnasa. My grandfather didn't know what to do, Rabbi Chaim Shmuel, his grandson, says about Rabbi Dr. Tversky. On the one hand, he really wanted to learn. On the other hand, Parnassa was very tight, and he didn't know how he would finance it. He sent a question to the Stipler. The Stipler gave him permission. This is very interesting. It says it in parentheses. About 20 years ago, a sefer was published, filled with correspondence between the famous psychiatrist from America and the Gadol Hador from Bnei Brak. The sefer is called Ya'amar LeYaakov VeYisrael. It's correspondence between Rabbi Dr. Tversky and the Stipler Gaon Zatzal. Okay, so he wrote to the Stipler asking permission, and he was considering going to university to study. The Stipler gave permission. However, he set down certain non-negotiable conditions. First of all, the environment should be clean and kosher. And then he said, quote, and in my humble opinion, you must make boundaries and shemiros, like lishmar, shamar, guard, so you do not get swept up in the secular current. One. And it was so interesting having read this over Pesach and then having sat down to prepare the shiur, Rabbi Dr. Tversky talks about Sei Toras HaKeva, because he doesn't just preach it, this is how he lived his life. One, said the Stipler, set aside time for Torah each day for at least 2 hours. This is someone who's going through medical school, no matter what. If possible, find a friend who is a Talmid Chacham, Yirish Shamayim, to learn with. That was number one. You must learn every day. That's Shammai's first principle. Asei Toras HaKeva. Two, daven all tefillos with a tzibur at the end of Shemona Esrei, ask for mercy, and your emuna should not be affected. You should not be afflicted with inappropriate thoughts. That's two. So one is 2 hours of Torah learning every single day, no matter what. Two, daven tefillah b'tzibur. Three, be consistent about immersing in the mikvah. This is the advice from the Stipa to Rabbi Dr. Twersky, which brings about purity of thought and purity of soul. Four, keep Shabbos according to all halachos and stringencies. Day of Shabbos is holy for Hashem. Do not speak about mundane matters. Do not joke on Shabbos. Don't read newspapers. The holiness of Shabbos will protect the weekday. Five, so think of these conditions, and if anybody you know or you're related to has gone through medical school and the medical school system, think of how exhausting the standards of the stipend were, but Rabbi Dr. Twersky stuck to them. Five, set aside time each day to learn, not the first 2 hours of the day, Sifrei Musar and Chasidus, at least 15 minutes each day. It's a great Shemira, and the stipend ended by saying, may you emerge in peace, may the merits of your forebears help you. Says his grandson, every day for the rest of his life, since that advice of the Stipa to Rabbi Dr. Twersky, my grandfather rose before dawn and sat down to learn. I couldn't put these two sources better together if I tried. Here, this was published over Pesach, and I read it, and we're up to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvav, and Shammai's first teaching in the Mishnah is Asei Toras Chakva. Rabbi Dr. Twersky himself interprets it to mean that is the framework, and everything else in your life must fit into this framework. And it's something we have to ask ourselves. It's something I have to ask myself. What's a priority in my life? And does Torah and Mitzvahs happen to fit in? Or is Torah and Mitzvahs, Chasadim, Tefillah, my priority? And everything else fits around that. I heard Rabbi Shai Schechter say this a number of times in a couple of different shiurim on YU Torah. So I'm sure everyone else could access the shiurim as well. I don't remember the title. I don't even remember what that shiurim were about. I'm sorry. But this made a very big impression on me. He said in at least two different shiurim that I heard that he was at the White House. So obviously this is the days before COVID. It was meet President Trump. I think maybe it was the Hanukkah party. Actually, maybe it was the Hanukkah party at the White House with President Trump, and there were many Orthodox people there, along with the delegation, whatever it was. And he said the president was supposed to be coming in, supposed to be coming in, supposed to be coming in, and I wasn't there. I'm relating the story that I heard Rabbi Schechter say over in a couple of Shiurim on YU Torah. And he said, and it was coming to Mincha time, and there was clearly a group of people. He says, I know these people, our neighborhoods from people. Shamay Torah mitzvahs people, they're looking at their watches, it's Shkia, the sun is setting, the president's supposed to be coming in, if we go out on Davin, we're going to miss the president, what should we do? And he said they didn't go to Davin. And he said after the president finally came in, by the time they Davin Mincha, it was already Marav time. He was so upset. If any of you have heard them relate this in the Shir, then you've heard it firsthand as well. And he was so distressed and he was so upset. He says, what's primary? What's Iker and what's Tafel? Is meeting the president my framework and everything else has to fit into that? What's going to happen? I mean, I wasn't there. I'm not judging anyone. I am relating a story. I don't know what I would have done. I'm telling you a story. So I'm saying we have to ask ourselves, what's my primary in my life? Micha, it's us to ask ourselves. What's my frame? I say to us, Kiva. Every day for the rest of his life, said his grandson, my grandfather rose before dawn and sat down to learn. Before anything, he would study two Sifrei Chasidus, Me'or Einayim and Kedushas Levi. Then he would go through other Musar Sfarim. A few years back, he told us he had gone through these Sfarim more than 250 times. So he wanted to go to university. So you have to make sure that the secular world is not your framework, and then Torah Mitzvot fits into that. So the stipend told them five things. And number one was set aside time for Torah learning at least 2 hours every single day. Number two, always daven tefillah b'tzibur. Number three, immerse in a mikvah consistently. Number four, keep Shabbos to the most exacting stringencies and halachos. And number five, in addition to your learning, Sifrei Musar and Sifrei Chasidus at least 15 minutes each day. And this is how Dr. Twersky became the great person that he was, the publisher of 90 Sfarim. By the way, it says, I was counting, Baruch Hashem, I have 10 of the 90, 80 to go. By the way, it says, I said this lesson to my kids, talk about not giving up. His first book, he published 90. Okay, tonight we're learning from Visions of the Fathers, his commentary on Pirkei Avos. His first book, he sent to 18 publishers. It was rejected by all 18. The 19th published it. If it was me, I would say, okay, clearly I'm not an author. I would have given up after the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth rejection. He kept going till it was accepted. He ultimately authored 90 sperm. So a big, big lesson in perseverance and self-confidence as well. Going back to the Mishnah, which we are learning. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky says that this man understood his priorities. He wanted to stay sober, so everything fit into that framework. A person, he writes, may be absor may do a, di oh. A person may do a full day's work, yet be absorbed in Torah. So you could do a full day's work, but your framework is Torah. And so he looks for opportunities where he can seize a few moments to study a Mishnah or two in between the work. It is otherwise with someone who is totally absorbed in business and sets aside a rigorous time for a structured time for Torah study. So you could be doing the same thing, but the attitude is very different. What is my primary and what is my secondary? A chassid who owned a shoe factory visited his rabbi. After a brief interview, the rabbi said, "I am aware that people put their feet into shoes, but why are you putting your entire head into your shoes? Where is your focus?" So reading that reminded me of a story that I read many years ago that I actually told over at the Shavuos Ritz Yarchei Kala a number of years ago. It was from Bina, okay? The days before I read Mishpacha, I don't know how I came to Bina. Someone must have given it to me. We did not subscribe to it. But anyway, I had a Bina. Okay, it was from November 2015. And listen to the following story. A woman named Ya'el Mermelstein writes the following. "This past Friday, I went to pay a Shiva call to my neighbor and friend who had lost her father. He was only 64 years old, and his passing was relatively sudden. I had never met her family. I knew nothing about her father other than the fact that he had produced a wonderful daughter, my friend and neighbor. The Shiva house was quite busy, and I was looking forward to learning about the Nifter, so I leaned forward in my seat, and I said to my friend, 'So, what did your father do?' She looked at me and she said, 'What did he do?' I nodded, 'Yes, what did he do?' 'Well, he woke up every day at 3 a.m. in order to make sure to get to the Kolsal Maravi on time. He had a long list of names of people that he davened for every day, and he didn't want to miss Vasikin at the Kotel either. He would go down every morning, he would light a candle for departed souls, and then he would start with his list of tefillos." "Every morning?" I said. "Yes, every morning. He never missed a day, other than Shabbos and Yom Tov when he could not travel. He davened Vasikin on those days too, but it was not at the Kotel. For 35 years, he was at the Kotel for Nates, rain or shine, sleet or snow, during peaceful times, during times of unrest. That's what my father did. When I came home that evening, I shared my amazement with my family. I asked her what her father did, and this is what she told me. I told my husband and children, 'Can you imagine such a life?' 'Wow,' said my husband. 'The funny thing is, that man actually ran a store, from what I understand.' 'Yes,' my daughter chimed in. 'He had a shoe store.' Therein," writes the author, "lay the irony. My friend's father passed away relatively young. He was only 64 years old. He had been a working man and a businessman. But when I asked her, 'What does your father do?' she didn't mention the shoe store. The shoe store was how he supported his family. But who was he? How did he live? What was permanent and fixed? And what was temporary and fleeting?" That question had an entirely different answer. I can't help thinking about all the men and women in the world who know exactly the answer to the question. And when we ask them, "So what do you do?" they say, "Oh, I'm an accountant." And this one says, "I'm a nurse." And this one says, "I'm an artist." And this one says, "I'm a carpenter." And this one says, "I do landscape design." Sometimes people have trouble looking beyond what they do in order to see who they really are. And the next time somebody asks me what I do, I'll probably tell them I'm an author. I'm still quoting from the article. Maybe I'll mention the articles I've written, the books, the magazines I've been published in, whatever project I'm engaged in at the time. But maybe, just maybe, I'll think of something else. And the next time someone asks me, "What do you do?" I will think about an answer that gets closer to the core of who I am. Perhaps after hearing this story, you will consider that too. The reason I thought of this story from 2015, when I was preparing the shiur, because Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, he mentions a shoe store. What do you do? I am aware, the rabbi said, that people put their feet into their shoes, but why are you putting your entire head into your shoes? Rabbi Dr. Twersky continues, Shammai Omer, Asei Toras Chakeva. That's what should be permanent in your life. So in other words, you could be doing the exact same thing during the day. But what's primary and permanent? And what's secondary and fleeting? Yesterday, I watched a Zoom Levaya. It was a private Levaya gravesite for the family. And Zoom for everybody else. And I watched the full hour and a half. And Baruch Hashem, the woman lived into her 90s with Doros. Baruch Hashem, Shomei Torah Mitzvos. Very full life, wonderful life. But it was such a reminder of where we're all going. And at the end of a life, on Mei Vesem Shana, a person's children throw dirt onto the kever. Ki afar atavel, afar tashuv, Hashem said to Adam HaRishon. And I told my husband and children, and I told it to the mourners today at the Shiva house, the Pasuk says, I believe it's Mishle. The Pasuk says, Lev chacham beveis avel, the lev kesil beveis mishta. The heart of the wise person goes to the house of Avelos to learn life lessons. The heart of the fool goes to parties. Asei teras chakeva. One of the questions we will be asked in the Olam HaEmes related to this Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos 31a, of the six questions we will be asked, one of them is Kavata, same word, Koveya, Kavata Itim LaTorah. So here the Mishnah Shammai says, Asei Toras Chakeva, he warns you, make it permanent. Because when you get up there, Masechta Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Av, they're going to say, Kavata Itim LaTorah, did you take Shammai's advice? Did you establish fixed times to make Torah the framework of your life? Whereas all the narishkain of society that we get so caught up in, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, is that the priority and the focus of our lives? I don't know, everyone has to ask themselves, what do you do? And what will I answer if someone says to me, what do you do? Continues Rabbi Dr. Twersky, we believe that how much a person earns is predetermined for him on Rosh Hashanah. And no amount of effort he exerts will allow him to exceed his predetermined amount. In fact, in Rav Chaim Kanievsky on the Yamim Noraim, they now published Svarim of Rav Chaim Amigdalas Esther, so Rav Chaim Amigdalas Echa. So on the Yamim Noraim, it says in there, Rav Chaim says he works for Parnasa 2 days a year, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because that's when the seal, that's when it's sealed. Of course, we on our level do our shtalis after that. But Rabbi Dr. Twersky says that we know it's predetermined on Rosh Hashanah, and no amount of extra effort is going to bring me more money than God determined that I should have. On the other hand, whether a person learns Torah and does mitzvos, that is not predetermined. Excuse me. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz, you all know that. Meir shemayim, that's up to me. God leaves this totally to a person's free choice. If we really understood this and we believed this, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, we would apply maximum effort to a life of Torah and mitzvos, since that's within our means to achieve more and more. Ma shamel kechoshu al meimach. Kim lahavoso, lira oso, davkabo. Leches b'chol drachav. Ma, Hashem al kechoshu al meimach. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz meir shemayim. That's within my power to do more and more and more and more. But I can't make more money than God determines I should have anyway. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, we cannot exceed our allotment no matter how hard we try. Is it not absurd that we expend more effort where it does not make a difference and less effort where it does make a difference? What's our primary and what's our secondary? And I'm not saying that everyone should, chas v'sham, especially for us, our level, the status that the Ribbon Shalom requires of us, don't quit your day job. That's not what I mean. But the idea of what is primary in my life, those five classifications of the stipler to Rabbi Dr. Twersky when he was about to go to medical school so that his head would always be aligned, not in his shoes, but in Shamayim. So learning through this piece of Rabbi Dr. Twersky reminded me of something brought down, or written, or not written, said, and transcribed in a sefer called By His Light, Characters and Values in the Service of God, different teachings of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzar. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was a son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, who was a co-Rosh Hashiva, Yeshivat Har Etzion. Right? Rabbi Dr. I think he was actually. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein speaks about internalizing Torah, and he specifically is speaking about the question from Maseches Shabbos. We will be asked six questions in the Olam HaEmes, and one of them is Kavata Itim LaTorah. Right? So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says as follows: there are things to which a person is committed to the degree that he wants them to be part of him. How much you're committed to something, how much you're committed to your weekly manicure, how much you're committed to your weekly lunch with friends in the restaurant, how much you're committed to the massage and the spa. I'm not talking about medical. He's like, yes, you should feel good. Please don't. Just understand how much you're committed to going to the movies on Saturday night, how much you're committed to seeing a Broadway show every year. How much you're committed to something is how much you want that thing to be part of you. And it's true. I mean, you have to look in the mirror and say, what am I the most committed to? Because what I am the most committed to is what I want to be a part of me. And if that question makes us feel uncomfortable, maybe it should. When he has that kind of experience, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, he wants it to be internalized. That is what the Brisa tells us in regard to Torah. Asei Torah Chakeva. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in the Sefer is literally quoting the Mishnah that we are talking about. Hashem puts my shirim together. Asei Torah Chakeva. See to it that Torah is ingrained and absorbed, that it becomes a part of you. This, of course, has implications for the nature of the experiences, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, at the time. A person who hears a symphony and wants it to become part of his musical repertoire will listen differently than a person for whom it's only background music. A baki in music, an expert in music, will not listen to a symphony the same way that a person will say, oh, it's background noise. Well, I'm sitting and schmoozing with my friends and we're having a chill and I happen to hear some background noise. An artist who goes to, what's that famous, the Louvre, the museum in France? I don't know, I've never been to France. I actually have no interest in going to France. Is it the Louvre? That was a famous museum there? You know what I'm saying? You don't even know what I'm saying. I must be saying it really wrong. You do know what I'm saying. So an artist who goes there is going to appreciate the art on a very different level than if Michal Horowitz went there. Why? Because they wanted to be part of them. And I'm saying, oh, it's very nice painting. Okay, I think when my kid, a 15-year-old, paints, is probably as beautiful as what's on their wall. If you saw my kid's painting, you might think the same. This, of course, has implications for the nature of the experience at the time. A person who hears a symphony, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and wants it to become part of his musical repertoire, will listen to it very differently than for whom it is only background noise. It's a different kind of exposure. It's a different kind of experience. There's an intensity and a seriousness when you want that to become integrated into your persona. I'm relating this back to, and he even quotes the Mishnah, Asei Torah Chakeva. He's really talking about the same teaching that we're talking about. The past 2 weeks, not in a row, but the past two classes, we focused on the interaction at the end of the Mishnah, Hevi Mekabas Kodam Seir Panim Yafos. We're now going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where Shammai says, you know what's most important? You tell me what's most important. What fits into your framework? What is your framework? If you want something to remain with you, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, you must immerse yourself in it. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos 31a, after a person's death, they will be asked by the heavenly tribunal, Kavata Itim LaTorah. Did you set fixed times for Torah? So Shammai says, Asei Torah Chakeva, because he's telling you, I'm giving you this advice. You know why? Because when you get up there, it may have asked Shana. You know what they're going to say? Kavata Itim LaTorah. And you can't say, oh, I didn't know, because I, Shammai, told you, Asei Torah Chakeva. So when they ask you, you have no excuse. I warned you, says Shammai. What's your Ikra and what's your Tafel? Did you set fixed times for Torah study? Similarly, the Rambam, Maimonides, places great emphasis on this. And now Rav Aaron Lichtenstein quotes from Hilchot Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches, quoting the Rambam, every Israelite man is obligated in Torah study, whether he is poor or rich, healthy or suffering, in the vigor of youth or old and feeble. Even a man so poor that he is maintained by charity and goes begging from door to door, as also a man with a wife and children, is obligated to set aside fixed times to study Torah by day and Torah by night. So now you could say, oh, I'm not a man, so I'm exempt, I'm pater. It's a mitzvah aseh, shazman grama, because I have to set aside fixed times, I'm pater. But it's not true. In the beautiful Beis Halevi, I think last year, on Chumash, where he talks about the obligation, Of brisk, Zatzal. Talks about the obligation of women to learn those parts of Torah that are relevant to them. And don't you all know that if we stop immersing ourselves within the framework of Torah, then our primary becomes something else? And it's true. Rabbi Zev Leff, I told you, said life's an escalator. You've all heard it, but Rabbi Leff said it. You're either going up or you're going down. Concludes the Rambam, you are obligated to set aside fixed times to study Torah by day and by night, as it says in Sefer Yehoshua, V'gisa bo yamam v'layla. Meditate upon it day and night. And now, similar to Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky of Aaron Lichtenstein says, one is not just obligated to study, check mark, no, but to set a fixed time for study. Why is this important? Because when a person is koveya itim l'Torah, he indicates Torah has a permanent place in his life. If I have time, I'll learn. If Super Bowl's on, I will learn. If it works, I'll keep my chavrusa and come to shir. And if not, because I have to do something else, so what will happen if I miss it? A lot. Because there's a kvius. And there's a framework. And what do you do? One person might say, oh, I have a shoe store, and I also attend the Gemara Shir. And another person might say, I attend the Gemara Shir. I happen to have a shoe store. I'm not giving anyone mussar. I'm really not. I really primarily speak to myself. We have to ask ourselves, what's my framework? When a person, says Rabbi Dr. Aaron Lichtenstein, is koveya itim l'Torah, he indicates, again, Shammai Omer, Asei Toras Chakeva. Gemara Omer, Shabbos 31a, now when you get up to the Yeshiva Shamala, they're going to say, Kavati Itim L'Torah, and you're going to say, oh, I had so much to do, I didn't realize I couldn't make the Shir, I couldn't learn, I had so much, you can't imagine my list, Ribbono Shel Olam. Salvechik says, if a person of Salvechik was Rav Nechtenstein's father-in-law, Salvechik says, if a person is Malamid Tzchus upon himself, when he claps Vidui, then it's not a Vidui, it's worthless. If you're malamid tzchus upon yourself, and you're standing in confession before God, so it's not a confession. It's excuses. You should be malamid tzchus for the other people, for yourself. You should tell God like it is. And once we get up, there's not going to be any excuses. I know we're not in that Mishnah, but ayin roeh ozen shamas v'chom asecha b'sefer nechtabim. So they're going to get up there and they're going to say, oh, I see on this date at the Hanukkah party in this year in Washington, D.C., at that palace called the White House, you missed Mincha. Why did you miss Mincha? Oh, you know, God, President Trump was coming. So you missed Mincha. What's your framework? What's primary? And everything else has to fit around that. And what's secondary? It's a little scary, no? When a person is kovei itim l'Torah, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, he has indicated Torah as a permanent place in his life. It is not one of those things which you do only if you have time. I'm quoting from Rav Lichtenstein. A person who enjoys playing basketball will play if he has time, but won't if he doesn't have time. On the other hand, there are certain things you do regularly because you understand they are part of your very being. The question is, how will Torah fit into a person's life experience? Will it be like reading a fine novel? Or will it be part of one's regular daily schedule? And if it is, will it become part of the very essence of his being? Kavata itim l'Torah, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, and again, Shammai Omer, Asei Toras Chakeva. I'm telling you now, so that when you get up there and they say, Kavata itim l'Torah, you can't say, I didn't know. I told you, says Shammai. Everyone knows Pirkei Avos. How appropriate that the Shir has come almost full circle to when we started last year, and this coming Shabbos is the first week that many people, myself included, have a custom to read Pirkei Avos, Shabbos afternoon. After Pesach, some people go through Shavuot, some people, I continue through Elul, and this week we're going to read Perek Aleph, after Mincha. And in Perek Aleph, you're going to read Mishnah Tesvav. And perhaps this week will have a little bit more meaning to us than maybe it had in the past. Every Siddur, Mincha, Shabbos, has Pirkei Avos. This week is Pirkei Aleph. Kavata itim l'Torah thus suggests kvius, not only in terms of making time for it, but in terms of what remains with you from your learning. Because if it's your essence, and if it's your goal, and it's your framework, that it's not something you fit into the time and leave it. When you finish, okay, so I did it, I checked off my bookmark, I checked off the checkmark, I can put on my bookmark, see you tomorrow. You take it with you. What are you trying to accomplish when you learn? Is it enough to have gone through the motions, like going for a swim, going for a walk? That's what Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says. Do we koveya itim l'Torah, going through the motions? Excuse me, check. Shiur, check, breakfast, check, fast talk, check, cook supper, check, do laundry, check, go to my meeting. Is that what Torah is? Another thing on my list that I have to check off? Is that why we're here tonight? Because you have to check it off that you attended? Chas v'shalom, I hope not. Is it enough to have gone through the motions like going for a swim or going for a walk? Chazal are talking about keva in the sense that, and he says like Rabbi Dr. Twersky, make it part of you. That's keva. If you learn and you forget, so you forget. You're considered an anus, you're coerced. But ideally, our goal is to strive to build up an otzar, a treasury of Torah. And if we build up a treasury of commitment to Torah, then it will remain with us forever. Short excerpt from By His Light. It's such a beautiful sefer, based on addresses by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. It's all just beautiful. Making Torah fixed practice, as Rabbi Dr. Twersky, is more than just a matter of time. The Torah must come first to conclude our shiur, and everything else shall fit within that framework. If this priority is observed, one will find more time for Torah study than if you squeeze Torah study into a busy schedule. I am aware that people put feet into their shoes, but I was unaware that people put their entire head into their shoes. We must expend more efforts, as Rabbi Dr. Twersky, where it makes a difference. And not waste so much time where it does make a difference. I'll tell you, shouldn't be an Ein Hara for myself. But yesterday I said, Hashem help me, I'm taking a Kabbalah just for the day. I'm not checking the news the whole day. When I say news, I mean Jewish news, Israel news and Jewish news. I say, if there's something I need to know, I'm sure I'm going to hear through it with WhatsApp. Spend so much time, such bittles man, Hashem runs the world. How much do I need to know about Biden and vaccines and this country and that country? I said, I'm not checking the whole day. I have to check my phone enough between WhatsApps and emails and iMessages. And yes, that's where a lot of work and communication gets done. But Baruch Hashem, I didn't check yesterday. And today, what God is saying, I told my kids also, it's important to share with your children what you're working on so they know you're not just preaching, you're living. I said today also, I didn't check the news because there's so many WhatsApps. I know if something happens, I need to hear, I'm going to hear. I'm not saying it's forever, but we have to sometimes reorient ourselves. We have to take ourselves out of this world. What's more important, seeing President Trump come into the room or davening mincha? Ask yourself, when someone says, what do? What will you answer? Shammai Omer. I say to Rascha Keva. But as I'm telling you, after 120, says Shami, when you get up there, they're going to say, Kavata itim la Torah. And then it's going to be too late. Whew, a lot of food for thought. This year is dedicated lovingly in honor of my dear friend, Mrs. Henny Wolf, who I can tell you makes set times and built herself a framework of Torah, Baruch Hashem. On the occasion of her birthday, by her dear and loving children and grandchildren, who I am zocha to know and work with, a number of them, you should have a lot of nachas from all of them. Dvarim hayotzi min halev nechnasim el halev. May the Rebbeinu Shalom help us. B'darach shadar motza leleich. B'amolichin oso. I thank everyone so much for learning with us tonight. And I wish you a wonderful, meaningful, uplifting Shabbos of Besoros Tovos. Thank you, everybody. Kol tov.